The Talk About podcast was designed to discuss topics related to modern culture and society that affects the Black community. Recently, we've been focused on issues and topics that are associated with the United States. But we all know that the Black community expands far beyond the borders of the United States. And that's why on the upcoming season on Talk About with Ron, I want to take the podcast international and start talking to different members of the Black community that were not born and raised in the United States. I want to hear from you. I want to hear your stories. I want to hear what are the challenges that you face as a Black person in your country. Now, whether it's good or bad, you know, economic or not, I want to understand your country, the Black community. We need to come together, and we should come together and understand each other. Because my experiences as a Black American or African American is not the same as yours. I've sat down and I've talked to different Black people from around the world and, you know, who live here in the United States from other countries. And the experience is totally different. I want to hear that. I want to share that experience with other Black people. You know, my experiences you've learned from me, and I have international listeners. And I want to invite you to come onto my show and talk to me and tell the world about your country. Represent your country. Represent where you're from. Tell everybody what they should know about your country. I want to open those doors up to everybody because, like I said earlier, the Black community extends far beyond the boundaries of the United States border. I want to talk to all of you. I want to hear your experience. I want to share your experiences, and you can be an ambassador for your country and tell everybody what they should know about your country, you, how you're raised, your culture, your experiences, your view in life, everything. If you would like to come on the podcast and discuss your country and where you're from, there's a link down below. You can go onto my show and register as a guest. You can contact me directly on Facebook. It's the Ron Frazier Sr. You can go to my website, www.talkaboutwiththeron.com. And you can have access to send me a message directly, or you can register as a guest, fill out the registration form, and I will contact you. This invitation also goes out to people who live in the United States that are from other countries, that were born and raised in other countries. So don't think that just because you live in the United States that you can't come on and be a part of this experience. I know that there are many people in the United States who were just moved here in the last 5-10 years and who have extensive experience in their country where you come from. So this invite goes to everyone that were not born and raised in the United States. So I invite you all to come be a part of the Talk About with the Ron Black Experience World Tour. Welcome back to Talk About, a podcast designed to discuss topics related to modern culture and society that affects the Black community. And I am your host, Theron Frazier. Before we get started with this week's episode, I would like to share some information with you guys. We now have a website, www.talkaboutwiththeron.com, where you can go there and support the show by using one of our affiliate links. There are several links there, one for Amazon, one for Fiverr, and one for Instacart. We also have a Patreon page where you can go and donate, and if you have a business, you can actually have a tier where we can promote your business on our Patreon page. Just go to www.talkaboutwiththeron.com and go to become a member. You can also subscribe there and leave your email address, and you will get the latest updates on the podcast. Welcome back to another episode of Talk About with Theron, and I'm your host, Theron Frazier. This week, I'm going to take you guys on an experience. This is probably an experience that 99% of you have never experienced in your lifetime. That's because this week's guest, his name is Shane. Since the age of 5, Shane has been losing his vision. and to the point to where he went completely blind in an older age, of course. But imagine living your life and going blind and how dramatic that is and how your life changed at the drop of a dime. Shane is going to share with us today his experience from going from a young age through all his trials and tribulations throughout his life that you wouldn't believe that someone in his condition had experienced in his lifetime. I'm talking about homelessness. I'm talking about jail. I'm talking about living through an experience, a traumatic experience that caused your vision to go. And then his experiences with how he struggled and how he made it through and got into school and did everything he can. And now he lives by himself, support himself, and do everything for himself. And he's blind. Shane is going to share his life story with us. And I hope you guys can visualize this experience. Shane is an awesome young man, and he has a real incredible story to tell. So listen in. This is Living in Darkness with Shane. So welcome back to another episode of Talk About with Ron. And today I got with me a young man. His name is Shane. How old are you, Shane?
I just turned 47.
Shane is 47, and Shane is blind. And he's going to today talk to us about what it's like being blind and some of the things that he do on a daily basis. You know, he wasn't born blind, if I'm correct, right?
Yeah. You're
so right. This is really an interesting story because he was able to see before and his life's changed dramatically. So I'm going to introduce Shane and let him introduce himself, actually, and tell us a little bit about yourself, Shane.
Thank you. I really appreciate you taking this time to interview me and let me tell an interesting story about, you know, people that are dealing with visually impaired. You know, you can't see and you use a device or a cane, so to speak, to figure out where you are. Or your circumference out here in the world. So I really appreciate it.
Okay, for Shane, where you from?
I'm originally from Fort Wayne, Indiana. I was born in 1974. I spent most of my time there. So I was a young kid who I went to school like I was supposed to. And, you know, my mom, she basically took me to school every day. You know, at a young age, like, you know, I'm talking about maybe 4 and 5, you know, when you sit there and you got to point out, they point out the animals to you, you know, I remember a little stuff, and you know what I'm saying, you know, what it was and stuff like that. They're testing your intelligence and stuff like that. The school, it wasn't really that far from our apartment, but, you know, I was still a real young kid. Basically, you know, my mom showed me the way, but it was just one day. She didn't show up for school, and that's when the blindness or where the tragic incident basically happened, you know, that basically changed the whole course of my entire life. I just remember coming home from school, you know, walking home, you know, by myself, you know, doing everything I was taught, you know what I'm saying, as a child. And I remember, you know, going up the stairs. You know, we had a whole flight of stairs, and, you know, I could still see my little hand, like, turning the doorknob, and it was locked. And I turned around, and something in my mind said, you know, jump, jump, you know, and at that time, you know what I mean, I ain't really have nobody, you know, to say, hey, you jumped down them stairs, like, it could be your demise, you know, it could be your death. You can get hurt seriously. You know, don't, you know, I had no individual telling me, you know, don't be playing on them stairs. You know what I mean? You know, when you're a little kid, you're supposed to always have somebody around just with a watchful eye. And at that particular point in time, you know, my mom wasn't around, nobody was around. And in my conscience, something said, jump. I jumped. But see, let me just say this first too, like how good I could see before this particular incident. I can see great. I mean, out of both eyes, really far and stuff like that. Like, really good, too. Really good. So, back to the incident when I ran up the stairs and, like I said, and I tried to turn the doorknob. It was locked, unfortunately, for me at that particular point in time. So I turned around and, you know, I happened to, you know, just look, you know, down the stairs and, you know, like I said, something said jump. And I didn't have any common sense. And I, you know, I actually listened to that first thought or whatever. And I actually jumped. I jumped down a whole flight of stairs. And I remember hitting my head on the right side. I lost my, I damaged my sight and my right eye really bad. Really bad. My left eye, you know, the left side of my head or whatever, it wasn't really that bad or whatever, but the right side was. So I was coming in and out of in and out of consciousness. You know what I'm saying? Like, I probably actually died at that point in time. And then, like I said, I think I was around 4 or 5 when that particular incident happened. And like I said before, yes, I could see, and I could see pretty, pretty good.
Wow. And you weren't doing anything different than a lot of other 4 or 5 year olds out there do today. You know, as a parent, we always tell them, like, stop doing that. You're going to hurt yourself. Start doing that. You're going to hurt yourself. I knew I do that 50 times a day with my daughter. She's 5. And we're always saying, stop this and stop that. You know, as a kid, she don't know any better.
Right.
You know, she just playing, you know, she just doing whatever. So I completely understand that. So in this case, your mom wasn't home yet, or?
Right. So she wasn't, you know, I mean, like, you know, I hear bits and pieces of the story. Like I said, I was coming in and out, and I just remember, you know, I don't know who, you know, who came and, you know, who basically picked me up, probably was her, perhaps. And like I said, you know, I just remember coming in and out of consciousness. But my right eye, like I said, I could see out of it so good when I was coming in and out of consciousness. You know, I can tell, you know, it was a difference in my eyes. You know what I'm saying? Especially both my eyes. I think I probably damn, you know, because it was, you know, it was a head injury. You know what I'm saying? So when I came out of consciousness, you know, I used to see my cousin, you know, see one of my cousins basically looking at me and crying and stuff like that. And I just remember just, you know, smiling and stuff like that. I don't remember moving or nothing. Like, you know, I know I was hurt pretty bad. My mom didn't take me to the hospital, unfortunately, you know, to get me, you know, the proper treatment and stuff like that. Like, honestly, like, because I was just a kid, I don't know how I survived it, to be honest with you. Yeah, I don't know how I survived it at all.
Wow. So you was about 4 or 5 at that time. And then, you know, so the blindness came over time.
Right. So I became, at that point in time, visually impaired. So I could still see a tad little bit. You know, I ain't going to say a tad little bit. I'm going to say a lot. You know what I'm saying? Because I still went to the eye doctors and stuff like that. And, you know, and I remember, you know, at that time when I was really young, one of the eye doctors said, you know, that he couldn't correct, you know, my right eye. And he kind of like, you know, he knew something, you know, really severe had happened. And he, you know, basically told me, like, you know, yeah, we can't correct that. You know, we're not going to be able to correct it and stuff like that. So basically they would just, you know, they had the medicine, you know, for my left eye that can, you know, get to, you know, where I needed to, you know, be able to see at 20/20. But, you know, at that point in time, they say, oh, no, you know, we can't, you know, we can't do anything for that eye. You know what I'm saying? So it was like, it was a process.
I understand.
It was a, you know what I mean? It was an unaware process, like, because, like, even though I was still going to the doctors and stuff like that, or ophthalmology, we're going to call it ophthalmology. I was going there, you know, they test your eye. They do everything that they're supposed to. And it was times where individuals were like, how can I say this? You know, testing that your eye, your strength. And some of them feel like, you know, hey, you know, you could have glaucoma or something. You know what I mean? Like I was told that when I was around 18. Well, did you drink you know, some Pepsi or something like that? And you know, I ain't gonna front, like I did drink, you know, I did have some Pepsi before I went and took that eye examination or whatever. And one of the things, you know, back then, remember, I think we had caffeine in those drinks, you know what I'm saying? I think caffeine would mess up the test a little bit or whatever. The lady came out, you know what I'm saying? She came, hey, you know, Mr. Qu- you know, we need to, you know, this and that and this, you know, because it could be possible, you know, this and that. And, you know, at that time, I was kind of arrogant. Like, yeah, right, look at me. Ain't nothing wrong with my eyes, you know what I mean? And I just, you know, kind of just, you know, so I heard it before. I heard it another time, Pearle Vision. You know, what I'm saying? I went to Pearle Vision and, you know, the dude was, he was pretty good. You know, I don't think Pearle Vision or ophthalmology, that's not like an ophthalmology, like department, you know, they just checking your eyes and fitting you for
glasses.
Yeah, glasses. Yeah. You see what I'm saying? Like, you know, but, you know, dude told me, he was like, you know, the doctor told me, he said, I can swear in your right eye, that's glaucoma. Man, you know what I mean? You know, I ain't no glaucoma. You know what I'm saying? I was very, you know, you know, what are you talking about? And, you know, I didn't give it, you know, I just didn't give it a chance. So, like, I really didn't say that in my mind. Like, you know, whatever. So we're going to talk about, like, you know, like, because, like I said, this is a process. We're going to, I'm taking you through a process of how it actually, you know, started affecting me. And I was, you know, and I was in denial, but at the same time, I didn't understand. Excuse me, pardon. So I didn't understand what it was that was happening, and that rapidly. It you know, I'm gonna just talk to you about when I went to Walmart. Now the doctor there, you know, because like previously, before I went to Walmart, I was at home. I was trying to watch one of the football games, and I noticed. You know, but I noticed a while back too, like it was a glare, like, you know, like with the oncoming traffic, like when you're going, you know what I'm saying? I noticed that too. But then I was sitting, you know, watching TV, and I noticed that certain type of, that same type of glare, you know what I mean? Like, you know what I mean? And I couldn't really understand what it was, that I was seeing, you know what I mean? And, how can I say this? I wanted to get some context or something like that to basically, you know, if I can see more, you know, see the games and stuff like that. You know, I was really interested in the football games and stuff. So I went to, you know, like I said, Walmart, and I went in there, you know, I went to the eye exam, you know, I want some context. You know, why not? You know what I mean? I'm really, you know, interested in that. So, you know, they did the everything they were supposed to do with the examination. So he like, yeah, and I'm like, said, you know, what kind of context can I get? He said, you know, I'm not giving you no context. Do I look like I'm trying to get sued? Like, what you talking about?
Wow, really?
Yeah, he said, bro, he's like, I'm not trying to get sued. You would sue me if I give you a contract. You know, and I'm really like, what? You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, like, what are you talking about? And then, you know, I'm going to say there's been other eye doctors, you know, before, you know, that wanted to do tests in the back and stuff like that, you know, but this doctor right here, he was really persistent, and he was like, hey, man, I promise you, you know, you got glaucoma, you need to get to, you know, ophthalmology department and stuff like that. You know, I was down out of my luck. I ain't had, the finances and stuff like that to basically... No, you know, to go to the ophthalmology, you know, that could be expensive and stuff like that. So I got incarcerated. I got locked up, you know what I'm saying? And, you know, on the yard, and I'm looking at, like, how the sun, you know, like, you know, the little light they was giving me, you know, I'm being sarcastic. But the sun, you know what I'm saying? And I was looking, you know, the way I was looking at the sun and how I was seeing the sun, and like, I guess the particles or whatever, it just looked strange. The heat wave, it just looked really strange. And so one time, like when I was, like, you know, I had to write the, who do you write in there? The administrator. I think you write the jailhouse administrator. And I told him, I said, you know, I think something, you know, with my sight, it's, you know, something is wrong. And, you know, and, you know, and I wrote, you know, I mean, because I got a little school, and, you know, saying I wrote with a, you know, sense of urgency, like, you know, you guys need to help me figure this out. And they responded. They did. They responded properly. You know, they started taking me out to Rome, Georgia. This doctor, he was something else. He didn't, like, you know, I, you know, because I still can see y'all, and I could see, like, what they describe, maybe, like, tunnel vision out of my left eye at this point. You know what I'm saying? Like, everything out of my right eye was still, you know, really blurry. They were claiming they didn't have nothing that really can focus that or whatever. But I can see how nervous this man was, you know, talking to me about this. You know, he was like, you know, you, like, we got, we, you know, and, you know, all these eye drops and stuff, and he's shaking, and, you know, he's like, he's really nervous, he's really scared, and he jumping me off at the same time.
Wow.
Yeah, because he didn't think I was taking it seriously, and he was right. He was right. You know what I'm saying? He was like, well, you know, he's going to go blind, like, you know, like, you know, right now, and all this type of stuff. I'm like, man, you know, like, but I can tell, like, yeah, something was seriously going on, you know, and let me just break down what glaucoma really is, in certain instances, like for all of us. Like, you got a hose, we got holes in your eyes, right? That water comes in and out, of your eye, and that's dealing with your pressure. So glaucoma is really dealing with your pressure, and it's really dealing with your circulatory system and how, you know, it distributes, you know, blood and fluids, all, you know, circulation through your body. You know what I'm saying? So, I'm going to go back to the doctor. He was like, yo, you need to take these eye drops, and, you know, cause you're going to go blind. He was just saying, like, you know, I'm praying, I'm hoping that, you know, like, and, you know, it did help me. The eye drops, you know, did stop me from going, you know, blind just for a little bit. And that's how the eye drops are really designed to try to, you know, but I'm just going to be honest. I was so far advanced, and it was so far gone. Like, you know, and one thing about glaucoma, like, once it takes your eyesight, it's a wrap. It's really a wrap, you know, but it took years, though. I'm going to say it was years, because, you know, the medicine did work. He felt like, you know, he was like, you know what you should do? He was like, well, you know, because he had the best notes and stuff like that, which I took all, you know, I asked him, you know, to write me a letter and stuff like that. You know, I start talking about Social Security Administration and stuff like that. Break that down later on if need to be or whatever. But it slowed it down. You know, the little medicine, like I said, it slowed it down for a little bit. Like I say, eventually, the blindness just overcame, but it was years after the fact. I'm gonna say once I started taking that medicine, maybe 5 years after I started taking the medicine, that's when I actually lost the sight. Like a person that's dealing with, like, you know that your sight is rapidly, you know, leaving you. You don't know. The only thing you really want to know at that point in time is, when is this going to happen? And can I deal with this? Can I handle this? Can I live with this? You know, am I going to be able to still maintain my life with this? And it was just, you know, once it left, it was game on. You know what I'm saying? I had to figure out, like, you know, how to use the phone. But see, at the same time, I still knew where everything was in my apartment, and it's like, it's more of a mental game now, because it's game on. Like, you realize, like, you know, or everything you set down or wherever, you know what I'm saying, you got to remember how to go back to it and stuff like that. It was a point of time where I was having, like, I had phones, right, and I couldn't answer my phone. So I had to go, you know, knock on people's door and, hey, man, answer my phone for me. And, you know, so that part was difficult for me at first. The cane part, like the cane they give you when you travel, not having that either. So I had a lot of individuals coming around me, you know, showing me a little support, you know, but you really got to, you know, watch your back, you know, for individuals trying to take advantage of you. And so, but I would travel by putting my hand on people's shoulder. You know what I'm saying? And that's how I would travel.
Random people or just people you was traveling with?
You know, and in some cases it was sort of like, you know, random people, you know.
How did they take it? Was it accepted or was it like, hey, what are you doing?
Wow. It's a difficult question because you know, I look a certain type of way, you know what I'm saying? And so when people look at me, well, you don't look blind.
Right. And that's why I asked that question, because when you just walk up to somebody and put your hand on them, somebody's gonna say, hey, what you touching me for? You know?
Yeah. So I didn't really get that type of response. Like, you know, normally, you know, I'm traveling with somebody, like, at that point in time anyway, so my hand on their shoulder, like the individual, you know, that was helping me, basically, you know what I mean? So, you know, so everybody knew something. You know, you can look at me and tell, hey, you know, he's suffering with something, you know what I'm saying? So it took, like, you know, I'm blind for years at this point in time. Like I said, I got an Android phone. I don't got a walking cane. Then one of my friends gave me a regular, like, cane, like, for, like an old man or something. You know what I'm saying? Like, it was really not the type that you use for that, but it did come in handy and stuff like that. And then, remembering was a major factor for me. Just remembering, you know, where I'm at. Even when people took me or we, you know, went to the store or whatever, remembering, you know what I'm saying? And, you know, I'm going to tell you a lot of stuff, like, because it's just really weird, because, like, my friends, like, they would walk me to the store, you know, with my hands on their shoulders and stuff like that. And I go to the store and I grab the cart and I basically told them, you know, what I want. The same way I did it, like, you know, in society or whatever. It was the same way once I went to school, it was done the same way. You know, I'm like, wow, you know what I'm saying? So, you know, you got an individual pushing the cart around the store and you telling them, you know, what you need, you know, and stuff like that. You know what I'm saying? So, you know.
So you mentioned school. That's a school for visual impaired school?
Right.
Okay.
Right. It's a school for visually impaired in Atlanta. They got, you know, I also heard about this visually impaired center. They got something where they take you, a visually impaired, you know, person like me, would take you all through, like, and show you, you know, what it is for it to be blind and stuff like that. I think that's a very interesting.
I actually did that. I went to Atlanta, had a bodies exhibit here in Atlanta at Atlantic Station, and they had two exhibits. There was actually something with darkness and this other one with bodies. Me and my wife and the kids, we did both. And the darkness was, it was like living the life of a person who's visually impaired. So everything in there was dark. You cannot see anything. And you walk through there and you have to figure out where you are. Sometimes you may be in a house, and some scenes you were in a grocery store, and other scenes you was on a city block. And you have to use your other senses, smell.
Exactly.
Hearing, taste, all of that to figure out where you were and where to go. And it was interesting because this was inside of a building. They literally had like a city block in there where you felt cars and trash cans. And yes. Then you go in the store, you can hear the people talking, and right. You can hear the stuff that's going on around you in the street with, like, the people working and breezes and all of that stuff. So And then what was really, really interesting, when we finished the tour, our tour guide, because that's a person that guides you through,
right?
Come to find out she's visually impaired. So the whole time we were experiencing what she experienced every day. So hearing your story on how do you get to where you are now. Now, I want to take it to the next level because I know you, right? You're not the kind of just sit around and mope. I know you.
No.
You are a fun guy to hang around with. You're very funny and very intelligent.
Right.
So after your life changed, you know, in this case, and you went to school, you know.
Well, I'm gonna tell you. I'm not going. You know, I'm gonna walk you through the process. Like, you know what I mean? Because I had to. You know, like it was a time when I was homeless. Nobody in my family knew what I was doing. I was getting my paperwork together, you know, because you have to have some type of income. So I went back, you know what I'm saying? Because I was, like I said, I went back, like, once I got out of jail, because I was incarcerated, I was in prison, and I was just in jail for a little bit of time. And, yeah, it was a moment of time. So I went to Rome, Georgia. And, you know, I got to, you know, walking towards Rome, Georgia. Somebody picked me up, dropped me off. I found, you know, somewhere to, like I said, to stay. Then I was going back and forth to the, you know, the doctor office. One of my friends said, you know, man, you need to go back to, you know, them people in Rome, them people help you and all this stuff. So I filed with the Social Security Administration and all that stuff while I was there, you know what I'm saying, to get all my paperwork done and stuff like that. And, you know, it was difficult, you know, because, you know, Social Security Administration, they don't just, you know, right away, you know, you get your money and here you go. But you know, this is crazy, you guys, like, because, you know, I was sleeping in this place, and this shelter. It was a shelter. And it was pretty nice, you know, we all had our, you know, we kept it clean or whatever. But like the person that was in charge of it, like they monitored, you know, how much time you stayed in this facility, whatever. And it came to a point to, okay, Shane, Mr. Corey, you know, you you know what you're doing, and you know, when it got to the point to where, you know, opinions were said, you know, well, we don't think you're gonna get it, you know, how many times you tried and stuff like that. So I had to leave this place, but you know, don't forget, I completed all my work, you know, all my paperwork. And did everything the doctor needed, you know, and got him to sign, you know, like, yeah, I completed my work. So I left a little place, you know what I'm saying, and, you know, walking down the highways and stuff like that, trying to get, you know, back towards, you know, Atlanta and stuff like that. So that was a journey for me, you know what I'm saying? And a lot of things was, you know, like going through my mind. And
Wait. You were visually impaired at this time?
Yep. I had tunnel vision. And the thing about it was, like, once nighttime came, it's a wrap. I'm like, because my eyes were that bad to where they actually, like the darkness actually overcame me. And I'm walking down the street, and, you know, I'm walking down the expressway, you know. Like, you know, I ran up on Pizza Hut and his family. He helped, you know, this family, all they, I mean, bro, they had a station wagon. They had about 10 kids.
Wow.
But he was a really nice individual, Caucasian individual. And he said, man, you know, I can only take you so far. And you know what I'm saying? And yeah, I'm walking down the expressway trying to get, towards, like I said, Atlanta. So you got, you know, Rome, Bartow, and all that stuff. And I had other friends that, you know, but let me just tell you this. So when I'm walking on the expressway, somebody called the police on me. So they came, they checked, you know, they checked my body fluids and stuff like that. And, you know, blood pressure and all that stuff, you know, and seeing I was, you know, mentally, you know, straight and stuff like that. And they eventually gave me a ride, dropped me off, stuff like that. And, you know, I spent the night on my friend's house. Then, you know what I'm saying, I was back on my journey. And again, back on the expressway, and somebody dropped me off in Marietta. A couple people gave me something to eat, and, you know what I'm saying, then, you know, it got dark again. So I had to contact the police because I couldn't see. I can't see, you know. Then I'm like, there ain't no shelters around here or none of that stuff. You know what I mean? So, you know, the police, they came. They met Marietta at nighttime, and they took me to Peachtree and Pine. Oh, my God, you guys. And it was terrible. It was terrible. You know, I was yelling at the cop. I mean, it was a culture shock from where I just left.
What is Peachtree and Pine?
Peachtree and Pine is downtown. I don't know if it still even exists right now. I'm talking about, bro, when I like, the man asking all kind of questions. Oh, do you got felonies? All this, like, it don't matter, bro. Like, you know, just get me somewhere safe. You know what I mean? And wait, bro.
Was it a shelter or something?
It was
or?
A shelter, but okay. It was the worstest shelter in Atlanta. You got all kind of people in Peachtree and Pine. All kind of, you know, just at that time, it went down. It was like damn near the Carter. You know what I'm saying? It was the truth. It was a big vacant type of building that Atlanta used for emergency, people, you know, when you need some, like when it's, you know, what, 0 below or 30, 32 below or something like that, or, you know, when it's cold. So when he opened, they opened like this garage door, and voila, I mean, bro, I saw thousands, you guys, like perhaps like just thousands of people, thousands of brothers, hundreds of brothers, you know, sitting in these chairs next to each other. You know, I'm like, you know, how, you know, it's just, it was so just unreal. Like just that alone, like, oh my, you know, like, oh my God, y'all, you know, it's like, can I do this? And I just kept fighting, you know, I just kept fighting, and they eventually, you know, I sat down, and, you know, I didn't know where I was at, and my situation was terrible. It was, you know, I got a, you know, bed, and I got to lay down. It was another brother, like I said, that, you know, walked me around, you know, to these church doors and just everything. It was just, you know what I mean? Then I started learning where other shelters and stuff like that were. Individuals, brothers, you know what I'm saying, teaching me where to go get food and stuff like that. And at this point, nobody in my family knew where I was at. My mind was made up. You know, I gotta get a certain type of income. I gotta get on my feet, and all this type of stuff. So I'm sleeping in Peachtree and Pine. Then if you look at that strip, it's a strip, like, you know, that you walk down. The aquarium is right there. And
yeah,
it's another Atlanta Union Mission or something right there. Like all over there. I was going to those places and stuff like that. Help, you know, just out there, you know, I wanted to really know, you know, cause like when I first came to Atlanta, I was driving and everything, but I used to see people, you know, sleeping on a park bench, sleeping out there on a box, you know, and I used to wonder how everybody knew each other. You know what I'm saying? Everybody, all these people are utilizing, these shelters out there and stuff like that. That's how they know each other and stuff like that. So, you know, I just learned my way around, you know, a lot, you know what I'm saying? And I just kept on pushing it. And, you know, signing up with these programs, like it was Gateway, like, you know, Gateway gave me an opportunity to go to the doctor. I mean, thank God for Greater, y'all, for real, straight up. Like, they had the, how can I say this? They had programs for me to where, like I said, I still could see the ophthalmology and stuff like that. One day I go back to the Social Security Administration. At the time, I still haven't established a residence or an address or anything, but I'm trying to check on this money. I got to figure out what's going on. So I go in there and, you know, I talk to, you know how you wait, you know how the Social Security Administration have you waiting all day. And I go in there and, you know, some fine lady, y'all. I mean, oh my gosh, she was so fine. I ain't gonna lie. Oh, she was so fine. I still can see. Whoa, she was fine. And she says, I'm ashamed, Mr. Corey, you know, we sending you money. Like, my ears just stuck up. Like, what do you mean you sending me money? You hear me? And like, you know, well, you know, the shelter place that you know, put me out in Rome, they're sending, you know, my checks there.
Wow.
Right. You know what I mean? And I just, you know, and the thing about that is when I was in Rome, you know, like I said, tunnel vision, stuff like that still. But when the sun came out, oh, my goodness, y'all, I couldn't, like, the sun was my enemy, like, with the sight. But if the sun wasn't shining, I can kind of, like, kind of still see, but tunnel vision. So I'm asking the lady, I called the lady, you know what I'm saying? I called, like, where's my money? You know, well, and if we get your mail, we don't, all this extra stuff. And I'm like, you know, damn, I just took a journey. And then, like, you know, let me just say this too. It was like I was in what's it, Atlanta Union Mission? No, was it? I think it might have been Peachtree and Pine. Which one I was in? One of them, right? And these guys were talking about this place that served like 5-star meals and stuff like that. And I'm like, bro, listen, did a brother find that place? And I knocked on the door, and I'll never forget, this lady answered the door for me in a Cafe 458. And when I found out what kind of place it really was, it was, you know, for mental health, stuff like that. And so I went there. I started going there every day, you know, for the counseling and just everything, like, you know, to help me with the blindness, like just help me cope with it, because it was difficult. It was really difficult just to imagine and to accept, period.
Okay. So now, current day, mm-hmm. You live by yourself, right?
Exactly. I do.
You do everything for yourself, right?
I do.
So give our listeners an understanding of, like, what are some of the things you do? Like, literally, you live by yourself. You have your own apartment and all that, right? So,
yeah, let me just say this before we get to that point, though, because it's not, like I said, I'm sorry for cutting you off, because it's a lot there before I got to that point. And
keep it going.
Yeah. So I had a counselor that helped me out, like, because I had many counselors in this program, because I'm still in this this program for, you know, people, you know, who, you know, dealing with, you know, chronic homelessness and all that stuff. But nobody knew how to deal with people like with the visually impaired and stuff like that, you know, so they didn't have an answer for me, so to speak. You know, I wanted to be independent and stuff. So he found out what school, like where I can go. And, you know, because we got other places, like, you know, that we don't talk about a lot here in Georgia, you know what I'm saying? But come find out, yeah, we do got places, you know, for people like me to go. So I went to this place. I forgot the name of it, you guys. Like, you gotta, I'm really sorry about that. I just don't remember the name, just because other people need it, you know what I'm saying? Because this place offer you, like, you know, try to get you back on your feet, get you type of job, or, you know, stuff like that, you know, blah, 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 blah. So I went in there, they test you and all this and that. I passed the test enough to where, you know, I can go to Denver, or I had choices, 3 different schools I could have went to. You know what I'm saying? I chose Denver. You know, I chose Denver because I always wanted to go to Denver. I always wanted to see what it was like in Denver, you know, and all the stuff that's going on in Denver. You know what I'm saying? Which was a really big, it was really nice. And it was high, and it had some of the best mountain spring water or whatever, you know.
Okay. I've been to Denver once.
Right. I wish I would have got to just actually, you know, see it though. You know what I mean? Because I can only imagine how beautiful it really is.
That skyline, their mountain range, mm-hmm. It's really nice.
So I get to school, and okay, you know, they got this blind community and stuff like that, you know, and, you know, you got instructors, you got people, you know, there to work with you, stuff like that. Now, don't forget, I was already at home figuring this stuff out, you know what I'm saying? But when I went to school, they just helped me, you know, accept it even more. Like, you was already doing this before you got to the school. You was already cleaning your apartment. And, like, you know what I mean? From, like, just like, you know, there, because they, you know, they grade you. They came in there, you know, with damn near with the white glove inspection. You know what I mean? Yeah, we had to clean the apartment to the best of our ability. And, like, you know, if you didn't do something right, okay, they're going to sit there until you get it right, so to speak. You know what I mean? Like, you know, so you understand what's, if it's clean, if it's not clean, all this type of stuff. So, yeah, you know, school had a lot of different stuff. Like, it was a culture shock for me, because like I said, like most of us who are not born blind, it's different, you know what I'm saying, from you just becoming blind just out of, you know, out of the blue, and but you still know what society looks like and feels like and what the sidewalk's supposed to be like and stuff like that. That's the only advantage I think I had. But like people who are like born blind, they got an advantage too, because they're taught like Louis Braille, all this. They taught so much stuff out there that helps people that's blind. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, be successful in this lifetime. It's people, you know, that's blind that got college degrees and stuff and all this type of stuff. But, you know, but anyway, I'm going to take it a little slow with you guys. So, you know, they teaching me how to travel. Now, Denver, like, they don't got the same plateau we have in Atlanta. When we go to the train stations and stuff like that, you know, most of our trains are sitting up high, and if you fall down in that thing, you're going to get electrocuted.
Mm-hmm.
Denver is a little bit more dangerous. You know, I don't know, a lot of people have been to Ohio. I've seen Ohio. They, you know, they got them trolley horse, like, you know, those ones that they got that, how can I say this, utility, like what's that wire, you know what I'm talking about, that cable wire,
yeah, the cable cart.
Yeah, so yeah, they got that type of stuff, like, and then you walk, you know what I mean. But they're like they didn't have a plateau, like, you know, so I had to really understand the difference, because, like, you know, I can walk onto that train and I'm on the track, you know what I'm saying, like, you know. So they taught us how to, you know, really understand, like, you know, it was really difficult for me to really get that part down, you know, like, you know, getting on the train, because, you know, they taught us how to get on those trains, all that type of stuff.
You know, I my job is near, my current work employment is near the visual impaired school downtown Atlanta. Mm-hmm. So I see a lot of visual impaired people riding the train by themselves. Mm-hmm. You know, they're using their cane. They know exactly on the platform where to go, like you were saying. Mm-hmm. And it's amazed me, because I see a lot of them walking with their canes downtown on the side streets, on the sidewalk, crossing the street. And I do notice, like, for the first time, because I work in that area and I walk around during lunch, there's a chirping sound at the intersections that I realized that was for visually impaired people. Right. So when the don't walk light is on or off, it makes a chirping sound so that they can hear.
Yep.
So I was like, wow, I've never noticed this in my entire life until then.
Right, right. You know, one thing about being blind is, like, you know, you don't notice a lot of stuff until it's affecting you. And that's just how it is in our society. You know, people don't notice nothing until, you know, if you got cancer, then you figure out, oh, what I got to do for cancer. You got, you know, certain illnesses and stuff like that. You know what I mean? You seen that movie with Richard Pryor, and what's that Caucasian dude? I forgot his name. He was a great actor. Remember that scene, like what you're saying, they pushed that that button, and then the thing told them they can walk, you know, that. Yeah, we need more of that type of stuff all through, I would say, our societies, you know what I'm saying, everywhere, to help people like me that want to be able to do it on our own. You know what I'm saying? We need more, I would say, white cane commercials, you know, self-awareness commercials and stuff like that. Like, you see somebody with a white cane, you know what I mean? You know what I mean? Like, you know, and I just been, like, you know, in Denver, let me tell you something, in Denver, they got, you know, because that school that I went to was considered legendary. And those people take pride in that school and people that's, you know, blind and visually impaired and all that. Like, you know, you can, like, there, I can barely step out in the street and all four lanes the car's going to stop. Now, you had some ignorant people out there that, you know, you still got, you know, people that's biased or racist and all that type of stuff. That's terrible. You know, you got to deal with that, and you're blind. And we all blind. We can't see no color, but still, it's still something like that going on and all that stuff there. But overall, though, I learned a lot of stuff. Now, one of the things, like I told y'all earlier, like I had a real issue with my phone. Like, man, communication is the number one thing that all blind people want to, we still want to be able to communicate. And when I got there, like I had I had an Apple phone. I didn't know how to use it though and stuff like that. So when I got there, these individuals helped me, you know, use my phone to perfection. Like I can use my phone, and it's great to be able to communicate and make phones on your own. You know what I mean? Without asking somebody, "Hey man, push, you know, can you push this, push that?" And you hear, like, but you know, it don't take that long for nobody to push nothing on your phone. So, you know, they sitting there looking at you, man, you know, would you hurry up and put, you know what I'm saying? Stuff like that.
Yeah.
And learning all the like stuff that I can use for, like, you know, self-defense, and like to keep people from, you know, looking into, you know, my business and knowing everything. You know, there's just a lot of stuff that goes on with our phones when we're visually impaired. And stuff like that. Yeah, I mean, a lot of stuff. But the school is really made to push you. Now, it don't matter like how old you are and all that, because I'm gonna tell you right now, it's all walks of life there that I saw there, you know, that I talked to, and it was so many different reasons why individuals were blind. You know, everybody wasn't near. Because of glaucoma, and some people could have got their, you know, sight corrected some type of way or stuff like that.
After you left the school in Denver and came back to Atlanta, right? Is that where you come back to?
Exactly.
So your life, it changed at this point, and now you've went to school to learn how to cope and to deal with it.
Right.
And now you're back home. You're living by yourself.
Exactly.
What is that like? You know, now that you cook for yourself, you do everything for yourself now. Describe to the listeners what's that like to do that for yourself, and knowing what it was like before.
Before, it was uncertainty. Like, it was just, I was unsure of a lot of stuff, and was I doing it, you know, and all this and that. But once I, you know, went to school and I seen, you know, like I was basically, you know, improvising like everybody else, I'm like, well, it's different for me. You know, I look at everything just, you know, different now. You know, it's not a big deal. You know, it's like I don't struggle. You know, I know where everything's at. You know, it's just, you know, I just don't know how to describe the feeling. Like, it's great. It's really great to be able to just have my independence and do everything I need to do. Now the only, you know, like signing forms and stuff like that, or, you know, I can't, you know, my mail, I can't read, but I think we got stuff out there that will read my mail and stuff like that. You know,
oh, really?
I mean? Mm-hmm. We got stuff, we got technology that will help us out with a lot of stuff. Money, like, we got, you know what I'm saying, like, I can download stuff on my phone to where it would read money.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
And that's one question that a lot of people who's not visually impaired wonder, like, you know, what it's like to, how you know the difference between the different bills that you may have, or cooking, like.
Okay, let me start off with this money. Everybody, like, right now, you probably put your money in your wallet a certain type of way.
Mm-hmm.
That probably is not going to change. Once you become blind, you know what I'm saying? So, you know where you put your 20s, you know where you put your 10s, you know how you put your money together, period. You mm-hmm. know how many fives you got, how many, and stuff like that. So, that's easy for you. The card. Now, I use my card. You know, America is like becoming more of a, I would consider a caste society.
Mm-hmm.
So, that's, you know, sometimes I gotta trust people, with my card. You know, nobody ran off with my card or anything like that. You know, I'm fortunate and stuff like that. But I do get that type of feeling. Like, you know, if I'm trying to use a machine and I can't get it right, so then I gotta ask a stranger. I gotta turn around and ask an individual, like, hey, can you and please not run off of my money.
Wow.
Like that. You know, other than that, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know, for me, it's, it, everything's just great. And like, what I would probably want to do, like if I were to, like if I go back out there and work or stuff like that, probably just answering the phones, dealing with customer service, stuff like that. As long as I know what, you know, the ins and outs of the company, you know, what I can do and what I can't do, stuff like that, it would, I probably, you know, would have an all right time doing that. And that's that, that's what that one program was trying to do. They was trying to get us back, you know, get people like me back into, you know, out there working, you know, and stuff like that, trying to encourage that, you know, so that type of stuff, which is, you know, like I say, it's not easy, it's still difficult. Now, Louis Braille, you know, it's Braille everywhere. It's Braille on these signs, bro. Like, you know, we gonna, you know, you out there, or you lost or whatever, but we're trained to search for that, that bus stop and stuff like that. Louis Braille, you lose it if you don't use it, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And the best people I've seen actually, I know I can read it. Yeah, I got far and stuff like that. But the best people I've seen, like, utilize that in our society are the people who were born that way, you know, born blind. You know, those people can read, you know, you can read, you know, 200, 300 words and those dots, less than minutes and stuff like that.
Do you think that's because they were born visually impaired and that's all they know? And being that you were once able to see, so you already was already able to read and you're used to what you've had, it's harder for you to pick it up. I won't say harder, but it's like you don't depend on it as much as you, your memory and knowing stuff that you've seen in your life and done in your life.
Right. It's a plus to be able to do the Louis Braille, but you ain't going nowhere, you know, 9 out of 10, where people are going to be utilizing that, you know what I'm saying, at all. So, you know, but, you know, knowledge is power. You always want to expand yourself. You want to learn as much as you can. You want to see all the technology. You want to see or utilize all the technology or what's beneficial for you in this state while you're blind. Like, you know, some of that stuff you can still use and some of that stuff you can't. You know that Louis Braille, they used that in one of those wars, if I'm not mistaken, one of those German wars, World War I or World War II, if I'm not mistaken.
You know, World War II.
Yeah, and they had a real hard time deciphering that. I don't think they ever did.
Oh, wow.
When I look at it, like, because, you know, those dots are formatted, like, in certain, you know, angles and all, you know what I mean? And really, to read that is kind of amazing. I ain't gonna front. It's really kind of amazing from where we, like, well, just listening or doing the research of how they used to do it and dealing with those big old brass books and stuff like that. You know what I mean? It came a long way. I think he revolutionized the, you know, that, you know, for blind people. Like, he took it to a whole nother level, to be honest with you. Louis Braille did. He took it somewhere else, like, for real. And he was a little kid. Like, I think he was working in his father's shop, and he got poked in the eye with one of his father's utensils or something like that. He went blind. Yeah, but he had to been really thinking about a lot of stuff to come up with some dots like that and be able to read it like that. He had to be damn near a genius, I think.
Okay. So you watch sports and news and all this stuff on television and everything. What is it like watching a football game?
Frustrating. But listen, you know, last year, right? But I'm gonna tell you the truth about it. You know what I'm saying? You know, because, you know, I got to see what the games look like and stuff like that. You know, I know. You know, I touch. You know, football equipment. You know, I could catch pretty good when I was a kid growing up. I can really catch. It's frustrating, like, when you can't really see, you know, what's going on, but you know the tempo of the game and the speed of the game. Now, you know, and, you know, I don't gamble per se, like, you know, to be gambling, like, oh, I need this money, or I gamble with you just for the fun of it. And I won a lot of games last year. You know, I went with Tampa, and Nobody went with Tampa but me.
Oh, my God. And I don't like Tampa because I'm a Falcon fan. The reason I asked it because I see you got on your NFL shirt right
here.
Yeah,
but I deal with the Falcons, too. But all I'm saying is, even though I'm blind, I still know good football. Yeah, I still know good football, bro. And that's the thing about it. You know, I can still tell you what team going to win and what team going to lose. I can tell you that in most cases. It's kind of interesting.
You picked the Super Bowl winner last year.
I sure did.
Hate to admit that. God.
Yeah. And I told him, I said, you know what? This man going to win the whole thing. Oh, no. And all this. Okay. Put your money on where it, you know, we know how we do it. You know, no arguing. Come on. Give it, you know. And I won a lot of games for Tom Brady because I knew he was going to win, you know.
You're a Brady fan. You watch basketball?
I'm not a Brady fan. Actually, I'm not. I just like football. Like, I really do. I can just tell you who's playing good football, just period.
Okay.
Yeah, at that time, he was playing good football for the moment and the time.
So what are some of the things you like to do nowadays?
Well, I listen to, like, you know what I'm saying? Because, you know, like, you got blind people out there that can't hear. You know what I'm saying? And so it's good that I still can hear. You know, when I was in school, it was people around me losing their hearing. But they were still teaching these people how to travel and all that, this and that. You know what I'm saying? So I look at, like, hearing as a skill, listening as a skill. Like, I can hear all around me, like, you know what I mean? And, you know, pretty good. And my hearing, it seems like it's stepped up, like, 8 or 9 notches or something like that. Like, I can really hear it really good. The one thing about my blindness, it's like, you know, the creativity is still there, too. You know what I mean? Like, you know, I might not get to see how everybody's moving and, you know, the moves they're making, but I can imagine them still. You know what I'm saying? And that's, you know, a great thing, I guess.
Wow. Okay. Is there anything that you want to tell the listeners just a message you want to tell everybody?
Yeah, you know, because I did notice certain things, like on my journey. Like in the shelters, you know, I've seen brothers that basically still needed help and assistance and stuff like that. You know, I'm just still praying for the brothers that, you know, they get some type of assistance and some good people to, you know, go down there and help these people figure out how to get, you know, their finances and together and stuff like that. You know, their paperwork together and stuff. A person just, you know, going blind out of the blue, it's a crisis. And just, you know, try to get people the proper help. That's what I'm doing this for. So to be an inspiration and for people to, you know, keep pushing it. You got to keep pushing no matter what.
Okay. I really do appreciate you coming on.
Thank you.
Got any final thoughts you want to share? Or was that your final thought? Or
not really at this point in time. Like if people ask you a lot more questions and if they want me back to answer a lot of other questions and stuff and what I did do, you know, to actually get my financial paperwork and stuff like that together and stuff like that, let me know because I'll come back and do it for you. You know,
okay. And I'm going to do some research on that too because I normally do like a blog with my podcast episodes.
Mm-hmm.
I did one where it was on domestic violence. So I kind of give people ideas on or information on where to go, you know, for domestic violence. So I might find one for visual impaired and, you know, just give the listeners information if they have someone in their family or, you know, they're experiencing certain stuff on where to go for help and how to get help too.
That would be great because, like, for the longest, like I said, I didn't have that. I didn't have, you know, and then, you know, the counselors that I had, they were working really hard to figure it out too. And it shouldn't be that difficult. It shouldn't be that difficult, but it really is to try to figure out, you know, what you can do about being blind. And there's so much stuff that you can do. You can do, you know. And I would recommend that individuals, like if you can go to school and learn everything that you can learn. You know, you really don't need that certificate or nothing like that. It's all about, can you cross the street on your own? I can cross the street on my own. I don't like doing it, you see, but I do, you know what I'm saying? But, you know, it's a lot of, like, maybe we'll do a part two, how I feel about a black man here and, you know, lack of choice of better words, you know, but being here as a black man dealing with this, like.
Well, I know. I mean, yeah. My entire platform is about stuff that's affecting the black community. So go ahead and tell us what it's like to be a black man dealing with this.
So it's trying. I would say it's very trying, difficult at times, because of some of the false stereotypes that come with it. You know, when you see an individual with a white cane, and that's the thing about it, you know, because you got that white cane, and it's like white cane laws all through the United States. But, like, to a certain point, these laws are supposed to, you know, protect you and help us, you know, still be able to, you know, deal with society, live in society, do everything everybody else basically do in society. I would say, you know, for, like, just black males, like, period, you know what I'm saying, like, wow, we just got to do a lot more self-awareness in that department, you know, so where people can, you know, realize, like, you know, hey, you know, you see a person with a white cane, you know that individual is struggling. Like, it was a time when I tried to cross that Reading Road, and, like, bro, like, people were still driving. Rather than stopping like they're supposed to, they're driving. They yelling at me probably. I can't see them because I'm blind. They probably yelling at me like, what are you doing? You know, what are you doing out here in the middle of the road? Blah, 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 blah. But they don't understand. Like, cause see, one thing about, like, crossing the streets, you know, you got to be damn near perfect. You got to be right and exact. You a black male like me, you leaving out the house, you know what I mean? Sometimes, you know, I do think, you know, well, you know, it could be, you know, you finna walk up here. You know, because, like, it's like those driveways, or, you know, the way those driveways are made, and people just be driving, you know. You know, I tell myself, you know, you could be walking out of your home, and, you know, you got every intention. You want to come back home, but you got to, you know, somewhere in my mind, like, you know, but it's a strong possibility. Hey, you might not be coming back home because, you know, an individual is not aware of my illness. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, like I said, it's really trying and it's daring.
So you're saying, like, for example, you leave your house. Individual may not be aware of your visual impairment.
Exactly.
But they see you as a black man first.
They see me as a black man first.
So you may stumble across an individual or individuals, or you may walk to the wrong place.
Exactly.
And they say, what this black dude doing here? Why this dude here? And,
right.
And it's already dangerous for us already.
That could be it. And, like, you can miscalculate, and that's major. Like, you know, you can step out, you know, you could be thinking you're on the sidewalk, you know what I mean, and you're out in the street. And people are like, you know, what are, you know.
And they don't know. They just automatically say, it's a dude made, in the street.
Yeah, that you made a human error. You made a mistake. But, like I say, it could be a costly mistake, though.
Yeah.
It could be a cost. Run you over first. Why? What are you doing out there anyway?
Right.
But, ma'am, did you see, you know, the big old white cane in his hand? You know, what that was, I don't know what that means. You know what I'm saying? So that's why I say we got to get more self-awareness. And then I would, you know, like to do these commercials because, you know, we have to use all different ethnicities because, you know, when it comes to blindness, this, you know, this can happen to anybody. It could be anybody.
Right.
And, like, you know, all walks of life, you know, nobody's exempt here. You know, you can go outside and you cut your grass and get hit in the eye with a pebble. And guess what? That messes up your eyes. It's like, now you got glaucoma. Now, you know, now these people telling you, you got to use this stuff, this and that, and this, or, you know, you're going to lose it. And 9 out of 10, once you start using them ointments, you there. And what you're going to do? You know, you got to keep, like I said, you got to keep living. And you got to, like, you know, practice make perfect. You know what I mean? And, you know, if you're blind, you know, we are taught, the ones who, you know, taught to travel, you know, to travel. Like I say, hey, you step off on the right, you know, drive through, and somebody come through bumping their music, and, you know what I mean, and run you over. You know, it can happen, you know. And then, like, those parking lots, slow down those parking lots, you know what I mean? You know, you see somebody with a white cane, that's when you should become alert anyway.
Yeah.
You know, really, yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, I don't want to say thank you for coming on my show. You have an amazing story to tell.
Thank you. I really appreciate you.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
All right. And that is Living in Darkness with Shane. As usual, I will do a blog on this that I will release, where you can get more information about visual impaired, more information about how to get help if you are becoming visually impaired or if you are already visually impaired, websites you can go to, all of that. If you know someone who's dealing with it, or if you know someone who need that information, I will create a blog for that. That will go on our website, www.talkaboutwiththeron.com, and there is a blog section along with other blog for other episodes. So thank you guys for listening. This has been an awesome experience, an awesome conversation with Shane. I learned so much more about the visual impaired and a lot what they deal with. I don't know how I would deal with something like that. So God bless Shane and everybody who's dealing with something like that. As usual, thank you all for listening. This is Theron and I'm out.